Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. My guest today lives with a unique awareness of time. Adam Wright has spent his entire career advocating for those who cannot advocate for themselves. Adam is currently the director of philanthropy at SHARE, a nonprofit in Vancouver, Washington, that is advocating for equitable access to housing and food stability. But part of that career-long advocacy is seen in his storytelling, through his writing, documentary production, and public speaking. Adam's story of human kindness at work in his world will leave you asking yourself this question: how will I spend my life? Welcome to the podcast, Adam Wright.
Thank you so much for having me. It really is an honor to be on the podcast, and I'm not sure I deserve all of the kind words you said. I'm just not trying to be my part, but I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Very, very glad that you said yes, and glad we got connected. I know that listeners are going to really enjoy hearing this part of your story that you're going to share. And I want to say thank you in advance because this requires a lot of vulnerability and courage to share. So thank you for that. We're going to jump in. We can't tell your entire life story, but your story doesn't begin with your wife, but it can't be told without her in it. So you two did something that most of us don't have the courage to do. Can you tell us about your sabbatical from normal life and why you did that?
First of all, I'm going to go back as you on that and say everybody has the courage to do it. We were just fortunate and had the resources and the support to be able to do it. So I do think anybody has the capability, the courage to do it. But what we did is we got married in 2018, and we were looking for the best honeymoon anyone could ever have, trying to figure out what we wanted to do for that honeymoon. And Australia came up on the list, and it looked amazing. But really, to be able to fully experience Australia in the way that we felt it needed to be experienced, we needed more than the 2 weeks that our PTO would allow. And so I was working at Special Olympics at the time. She was working for a development company there, Crossroads in Kansas City. And we took a leap in 2019, decided to leave our jobs for a year. And we traveled abroad, went to New Zealand, Australia, Southeast Asia, Japan. We did that for about 4 months because we did have two big loving couch dogs that we were leaving behind with our parents and some friends. And so we kind of split the year into two. We did 4 months abroad, came back to the States, and we had rebuilt a miniature school bus that we then swooped up our dog, put them in the miniature school bus, and drove from Kansas City up to Alaska, going to as many national parks and state parks as we could, trying to do some hiking and just see the beauty of the world that we have here.
And you documented those travels, right?
We did. We tried to share as much as possible about our adventures and everything that we were doing along the way, because travel is a very special thing. I think it makes all of us better if you're able to do it. We recognized how lucky we were to be able to do this, but I think travel can give you a perspective on life that is different than your own. It can show you how different cultures exist, how different cultures do the same things that you're doing in a different way. One of my favorite things is fruit tourism, going to different countries and eating the different fruits that they have. And so we love to document that as best as we could to our friends, to our family, anybody else that happens to come across our page, but just trying to document that as best we could. Yeah.
But then life ripped the rug out from under you. What happened after that trip?
It did. Yeah. So it was kind of in the middle of the trip, actually. We were, the school bus was a 1992 miniature school bus. And as you might imagine, there were some breakdowns along the way. And so those breakdowns cost money, and the money eventually started to run out. And so rather than cut our trip short, the whole year that we were going to take off, we decided we wanted to still live in a different part of the country for a little bit. So we started looking for jobs, ended up settling down here in the Portland area. Both found jobs here, and that was probably what, December, or I guess Caitlin got hired. My late wife got hired at her job in October. I found a job not too long after that. We kind of settled down here in late 2019, early 2020. And then spring of 2020, a couple things started to happen around the world that you might be aware of. And during that process, we still continued to travel, travel locally, I should say, go on hikes, do what we could for our mental health here in the backcountry, things like that. But one of our goals was to start a family, and we were incredibly fortunate that Caitlin got pregnant, and we were so proud that she got pregnant and so excited to start our new venture together, and proud to see kind of what that would look like as we continued on. But then in December of 2020, we had some complications with her pregnancy. She was less than a month away from her due date. And in about a span of 64 to 72 hours, we went from snuggling in our bed together to Caitlin waking up in, immeasurable pain. She was one of the healthiest people ever alive. She loves to hike, loved to eat fruit. She was a gymnast. You couldn't have been a healthier person than Caitlin was. But she woke up in a lot of pain. She couldn't breathe very well unless I was holding her arms above her head. And so went to the hospital, even though it was kind of a tricky thing to be doing during the COVID times there. But ended up making the decision to go to the hospital and put that side of things at risk a little bit to be able to care for her. And then in the next couple of hours, we ended up losing our baby. Caitlin ended up going into a coma, which she never awoke from. And so in about a span of 72 hours, went from kind of snuggling in our bed to losing the two of them.
Gosh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Yeah.
Some people might be wondering, how in the world does something like that happen? And I don't want to get in the weeds of the medicalness of it all, but if I'm correct, that's eclampsia.
Yes. So eclampsia was part of it. There are a lot of much more medical jargon that we could get into with it, but it was such a unique case that it was eclampsia that because of the pandemic, there were less appointments that were able to be possible to have. And so we weren't able to catch it as preeclampsia. Eclampsia happened is in addition to a couple of other things that were just, one of the physicians there said it was a once in a career type of case that they were dealing Jeez. With. One of the worst this hospital that opened in the 1800s that had ever seen. And so it was, it was quick and it was unforeseen. And, 2 days prior, there were no indications that anything would have been wrong. So, eclampsia was kind of the main one that people would know.
So you go from having this incredible experience, making memories with Caitlin, and life rips the rug out from under you, and you lose her and your son. Wow. You talk on social media about her and your son, and you've done some really remarkable things to honor both of them and their lives. And it's why I wanted you to come and share this today, because you posted something on LinkedIn recently about how we spend our dash on this planet. Can you expound on that a little bit? What's the dash and why does it matter?
Yeah. So we talk about this dash. You look on gravestones and you see the first years and the last years, and then there's that little dash in between the years. Or if you're watching a memorial service or something, there's always those numbers with the little dash in the middle. And I was at a foundation event recently in which they were honoring people of our community who were incredible givers, who wonderful philanthropists, and I got caught up in those little numbers, the dash between those numbers, and kind of doing these calculations of, oh, this one was here for 72 years, this one was almost 90 years, this one, and so I started thinking about that a little bit and realized that the math equation is not what's important. The number of years is not important at all. Sorry, I'm choked up here a little bit.
You're allowed.
Caitlin's math equation, the answer to that is 31. She had an incredible 31 years here on life. We were so fortunate to have five really incredible years. And I am proud, and I think she would be proud of what we did in those 5 years. We, you know, obviously, I wish none of this would have happened. But I think it's almost poetically beautiful that in the year leading up to Caitlin's last year on Earth, we traveled the world. We saw some of the most beautiful places on this planet, in Vietnam and Thailand and in Australia and New Zealand, places people dream of going. We did so much of it. And it's important to me that people realize and understand that there's always hardships. There's always things that can make it difficult to reach your dreams, to live in the moment, and to, you know, you can always put things off into the future and think, oh, I'll do this, you know, maybe when I have a little bit more money, maybe when I have a little bit more time, maybe. And none of those things are guaranteed. And it's what we do with that little dash that we hear that we're here on Earth that is so important. And that's not just for much, you know, for us, that was travel. It's so important to us to travel and see the world and enjoy all of these things and all these different cultures. But it doesn't have to be. It could be in your own backyard, whatever you enjoy doing most. Maybe it's picking up your grandkids. Maybe it's going for a walk with your grandparents. Maybe it's doing whatever it is that is most important to you. It's important to me that people understand how important that dash is on Earth, and how we use that dash from a philanthropy side, I think it's equally as important. You know, we all have the ability and the power to make somebody smile, to make a huge difference in someone else's life. And I think it's what we use our time on this earth for that, you know, is going to create our legacy, as much of a legacy as important to any of us. It occurred to me while I was doing those math equations during that foundation event that the number of years just could not matter any less. It's how you spend those years that is so important in how you treat others, how you care for others, how you treat yourself, care for yourself, and find the things that are so important to you. So that's kind of that dash for me is how do we spend that time that we're given here?
I love that. That's really, really well said and beautiful. It's a beautiful picture. You are spending your dash very well, despite immense grief and loss. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've recycled that pain of losing your wife and your son into making a difference?
Yeah, and thank you for asking. It probably started almost in a selfish way, to be honest. Anybody that's ever done anything for anyone knows that warm feeling you get in your heart when you make someone smile, when you hold the door open for somebody who's had a rough day and it kind of puts a little pep in their step. I've been really fortunate to have the support system that I've had from my family, my friends, strangers, my current partner, Aria, to everyone around me. I've been so fortunate to have them. But in the early days of this immeasurable grief, something that really made my heart warm was there was a group of strangers that had read about Caitlin's love for the plant and her goals for creating a better world for all of its inhabitants. And so I think it was on Christmas Day, about 2 weeks after we lost Caitlin and Grady, that a group of strangers went out and picked up their community. They picked up some trash. They cleaned up their area that, you know, was in an area where it was a small creek that went into a river that went to the Missouri River that went to the ocean. And so, you know, this chain reaction effect where they were picking up trash in the middle of Missouri that eventually could have harmed a turtle. And so that made me, you know, it gave me a lot of joy. And so really taking their idea, I just kind of ran with it because it was something that made me happy. It was something that that got me out of bed every day being able to do. And so what has happened now is we have these two main events throughout the year that friends and family and now kind strangers from all over have kind of started to join in with us doing. The first of which is in the fall. We do a fall community cleanup. Typically, we're doing it early in October. And this is in honor of Caitlin's love for the planet. We've called it the K&G cleanup, Caitlin's K&G cleanup for Caitlin and Grady, in which, you know, a group of us come out every single year and we clean up the community. We find a park, find somewhere that has become a dumping ground for trash, for tires, for all of the junk that people decide they no longer need and they don't have the desire to do something with it that's the right thing. So they find the easy thing and they dump it. Well, we don't like that. And so we have gone and started to pick up that area to clean up the area, make it a little bit prettier. And in addition to that, the hardest anniversary that I typically have every single year, I started doing what we call Grady's Gift, which is kind of turned into more than a month long adventure. It's annually. It started as just me and my cousin came out to Portland for the anniversary of losing my family. And I mentioned that I was going to go spend some time with people who are experiencing homelessness, families who are experiencing, food insecurities, those who are trying as hard as they can and the ends are not meeting. And so I didn't expect much of it. I was going to put as much money as I had that I could, give to do this, but we're going to go buy some gift cards to hand out on the streets just to brighten some people's days. And somehow this has snowballed over the last 5 years into last year. We brought in about $10,000 from kind strangers that I feel incredibly fortunate to be able to go out and spend other people's money to go into low-income neighborhoods in Portland and in Kansas City. We're looking to expand it a little bit here, and to go into these neighborhoods and go into grocery stores and take that burden away from that mom with two kids who is trying to decide between putting food on the table or getting the medication. And we've gone out and bought hats and gloves for, people when it's the coldest time of the year. And so really it started as a way for me to feel a little bit better every single day that I was struggling with the most, the hardest part of the grief, the strongest, the time of year that is typically the hardest for me. And it's turned into this beautiful thing where the community has really supported me in this. And I'm just so fortunate to be able to see the reactions on the faces of these people whose day really is brightened by this. It's been incredible having so much support in doing this. And I'm so thankful for everyone who has supported, because they don't get to see those reactions. They don't get to see the smiles. They don't get to get the hugs, the cries from people who genuinely have had their days, their weeks, their year turned around because of the kindness of strangers. Mm-hmm. So every year we do a cleanup for Caitlin and we do a gift for Grady's gift. This last year, I was very happy that we were able to pull enough money together that we are now supporting a mother of two who has two children who are under the age of, I think, seven. We got them a membership to a CSA in California, so that every week from June through November or so, they are able to go and get fresh produce every single week, produce, awesome. Flowers. There's a playground there. And so it's, being able to, and if you're unfamiliar with the CSAs, it's a community supported agriculture. Okay. So typically people pay at the beginning of the year, a lump sum. And then throughout the year, you just go and you get your produce, this fresh produce directly That's from a cool. farm. And so there's no pesticides. It's a brilliant program. My cousin actually runs a CSA in Northern California. So I happened to work with a nonprofit in the community there to find a family to be able to support them because they're struggling with food insecurity. And so, that's kind of what we've been able to do. And I just continue doing it as long as I can, as long as people are able to support. And I just feel fortunate to be able to do it. And it's, it definitely, I think, makes a difference in the community, but it makes a difference for me too.
First of all, I think it's cool that your love for fruit is like coming back around in this whole supporting the mom at the CSA. Just a little thing that popped into my head. The other thing I wanted to say, our mutual friend who connected us told me every time he sees trash, he picks it up and he thinks of Caitlin, your late wife. I think that's so powerful. And in telling this story, it's going to be stuck in our heads now. And in that way, her memory gets honored in so many more lives, and so many more people are going to make a difference, you know? I just think that's so beautiful.
I love that. And if I could tell one more quick story on that, why it's so important to me, why that makes me feel so good hearing that story that he has told me as well, is that we took a day when we were in Vietnam and Ha Long Bay. It's this beautiful emerald green waters with towering mountain-like structures that, you know, it's a dream to visit the type of place. We rented kayaks one day while we were there and decided to kayak around and just look at the beauty of the world in front of us. And pretty soon after that, we realized that there was a lot of trash in this area, and there were turtles, fish, and all sorts of wildlife that were in danger because of this trash. And on our one day that we rented kayaks, and this is, mind you, this is for a whole year where we were really tight on budget. I was working in a nonprofit. She was doing accounting. We weren't flush with cash at this point. So being able to rent kayaks for a day was a big deal for us at that time. And so the one day that we rented kayaks, instead of going around and just swimming and enjoying the area, Caitlin got it in her mind that we needed to make a difference. And so we went through and spent the entire day picking up trash, filling trash bags of probably 3 or 4 trash bags with trash from that area. And so just, I hope that, you know, I feel like I get a lot of credit for the work that we're doing in their honor, but so much of it is because of Caitlin's heart. And in the goals that we had for Grady and how we wanted to raise him to live in this world. And so anyway, the story of hearing people pick up trash just on their walk, their everyday life, means so much to me because it like you said, it Caitlin's goal, and I have a goal to make sure that remains out there in the world.
I think it's beautiful that even beyond their own lives, they are still impacting this world. That's really powerful. So Adam, this podcast community is full of people who want to make a difference. But I'm thinking about listeners who might be stuck in grief, you know, maybe in a similar situation as you, or just in some sort of grief. We all go through hard stuff. And what if they have experienced a tragedy, but they don't want to stay stuck? They don't want to stay there. How do they move from grief to action?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first of all, I think I just want to kind of say that, I think it's really important not to compare grief. Yes. If we all compared every little thing or hard thing that we go through to the Holocaust,
right,
not many of us would have anything that we should complain about. And so I think, first of all, whatever anyone's going through matters. If it's bothering you, if it is causing you anxiety or trauma in any way, regardless of how you perceive it compared to others, it's important. Yeah. And so I would first, you know, I was really, really fortunate that, I reached out to somebody who I really admire on social media at one point. He had put a career on hold for his mental health. And he strongly advised me to see a therapist, see a counselor. And I did that for many years, and I still have her on speed dial anytime that I might need. And so first of all, I would encourage that. If you're a man, if you're a woman, doesn't matter who you are, mental health is important. And I would recommend seeing a professional to help with that mental health struggle as you're going through your grief. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing is to honor your emotions. It doesn't matter if something's hard, if something's fun, whatever you're feeling at the exact moment when you're feeling it, you're supposed to be feeling that emotion. And I would say lean into that emotion, even if it's hard, even if you're feeling guilty about being happy, even if, you know, it doesn't matter exactly what it is, the emotions that you're feeling, what you're dealing with, your grief, are important, and they're there for a reason. And every emotion has a seat at the table, and they're all important in their own ways. And then from there, you know, I wish I had a better answer of how to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But I would just say, you know, what's important to you is important, and find something that is important to you, whether that is in the social services world, whether that is being with your family, going for walks, whatever it is that you think you can do, do it. And the most important thing is do today what you need to do to get to tomorrow. And I saw a documentary one time that was something about, you know, I'll give up tomorrow kind of thing. And the whole idea with this was that, you know, today is today and maybe tomorrow I'll give up, but not today. And then tomorrow comes, it's like, well, tomorrow's the next day tomorrow. And so I think all you have to do is get to the next day, however you can. And some of those days that's going to be laying in your room, crying as much as you possibly can. And that's okay too. But as long as you know that that's okay, and that you have a goal that you're trying to get towards, I think you have to try to go for that goal, and you have to decide what you want in life and do what you can to get there. And that's, you know, leaning on your community as much as you can, as I mentioned, seeing a mental health therapist, journaling, writing, whatever it is that's best for you to get those emotions to how they need to be, do it. So
that's good. Really good advice. Adam, if listeners want to connect with you, maybe on socials or get involved in Caitlin's Cleanup or Grady's Gifts, how do they find you online?
Yeah, thank you for that as well. I'm on Instagram at adubtogo, A-D-U-B-T-O-G-O. I'm also on LinkedIn at AdamWright8789. I try to share a little bit about my journey on both of those places. If you're somebody that wants to help provide monetarily, I'm on Venmo and PayPal at APWQ44. I'm working on a better way to do that, so people know where their money is going. And I do, on social media, I typically post every single gift that we do, so people can kind of see the reaction. Well, not necessarily the reactions, but see, the good that they're doing. But those are kind of the three things there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm so sorry. I would say one other thing too. I would love to connect with anybody that wants to. I'm happy to have people support monetarily, all those things. But if none of that is of interest of anybody, my request is just to continue to do, you know, build the world that we want to see, and to hug your kids, hug your parent, and pick up trash, recycle. You know, every moment has the right thing and the wrong thing, however you're going to gauge what that is. And I just ask that everybody try to do the right thing.
That's a good ask. Your story, Adam, is such a good reminder that life is short and nothing's guaranteed. I think that grief has a way of changing us. It marks us, you know? But from what I can see, you haven't let that grief swallow you. And I think that's really admirable. Thank you for being the kind of person that uses whatever energy you have to make the people and the world around you better. I think you're honoring your wife and Grady, your son, with the ways that you're making a difference. So thank you for being that kind of person and for being willing to share part of your story with us. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate what you're doing as well, telling these stories. It's such an important thing. Thank you. I'm honored.
You're welcome. Take care. Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. It really helps get the word out so that more people can be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, look for ways that human kindness is at work around you. And don't just notice, be a part of it. See you next time.